Peace be with you. We are just under a week away from Christmas Day, so you are listening to the final interview before the holiday coming up on Sunday. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. By the way, I post a lot of pictures in that group that do not get shared anywhere else. And stick around at the end of this interview. I'm going to come back to that very thing. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Remember also that if you go to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW, you can do exactly what that website address says. This is not a sponsor, by the way, and it's not affiliated with any coffee chain or coffee company. We don't even have to be in the same city or state. It's all virtual in the spirit of the Christmas season and or simply to show your support for what I do each week with Catholic Sports Radio. Take a look at that site, buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Are high fives given half-heartedly? Are pats on the back or giving a teammate the thumbs up just going through the motions? Why does it take a championship or a tragic injury for an athlete to express their emotions? I love those guys in that locker room. Or, he's like a brother to me. Does being macho force athletes to hold back expressing their emotions for their teammates? It seemed to me as though one of the outcomes from the pandemic was a greater appreciation for life and holding each other closer and not being afraid to tell someone you love them. It should not have taken a nationwide, heck, a worldwide quarantine, though, for us to receive that message. After all, in the New Testament, we are told in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, quote, "Let love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Anticipate one another in showing honor," end quote. Or to read it from the New Living Translation, "Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest competes year-round as a professional Ironman triathlete. He is the head coach of the 18-time national champion University of Colorado Boulder triathlon team, and he is a USA Triathlon Level 2 certified coach and a certified sports nutritionist. He had spent his years as a student athlete competing in soccer, including during college. In addition to his racing endeavors, he is a nationally recognized abstinence speaker and has spoken to thousands of teens and young adults on the benefits of being physically, emotionally, and spiritually buff. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Brad Seng.
Thanks, Bruce. It's great to be speaking with you this afternoon.
Likewise, Brad, I appreciate you coming on the show. It would seem as though you have deep roots in Colorado, but I read that not only is that not where you're originally from, but that you're still a fan of the NFL team from back where life began for you. Share with the audience about where that was, as well as the household you grew up in, meaning family size.
You bet. So, yes, I am a loyal Detroit Lions fan. So growing up in Michigan and the beautiful Great Lakes State, and have two very loving parents who have been married now 59 years, as well as three siblings, an older sister, an older brother, and one younger brother. So I'm kind of in the middle in that mix.
Wow. Congratulations to your parents. That's amazing. 59 years. My gosh, what a great example.
Yeah, for sure.
You are a cradle Catholic, yet you only went to Catholic school for first through third grade before then going on to public schools. What were things like faith-wise in your household as you were growing up, especially from fourth grade on, when you were no longer going to a Catholic school?
Yeah, so I'm very fortunate that my parents really set a wonderful example of what it is to be Catholic, but more importantly, to live our Catholic faith. So our Catholic faith was a big part of my life growing up as a child. When I left the local Catholic grade school and went on to the public schools, I still, you know, like many young people who are in the public school system, but still, you know, staying connected to their faith, I was, you know, consistently going to the CCD classes and involved with local high school youth ministry groups. But I will say, you know, having the opportunity to have spoken to a lot of young people and youth groups over the years, I honestly don't think that my formation as a young child was as strong as I think is what we're seeing with many of today's youth groups, which is great to see in the young people.
Yeah, I was going to say that's kind of a good news, bad news. It's very encouraging to hear that it is as impressive, if I can use that word, as what you're describing,
right.
But unfortunate that it wasn't quite at that level when you were young.
Right, sure. Yep. But nonetheless, in that regard, I'm very fortunate that you know, my parents were a great example, as well as positive influence from CCD teachers and youth ministers growing up and that sort of thing.
On the sports side, despite all that you have achieved in triathlon, I mentioned in the intro that soccer was actually your sport when you were a student athlete. Why soccer? But then also, when and why did you switch over to triathlon?
Yeah, so soccer was my main sport growing up. I think I started when I was knee-high to a grasshopper at the age of probably 5 or 6 and played in, you know, the local youth soccer leagues through elementary school and then into middle school and high school, played 4 years at college at a Division III school in Michigan called Albion College. And I also swam growing up some as a kid, and even in high school I swam 3 out of the 4 years. And by the time I got into high school, swimming for me was just kind of a way to stay active and maintain some fitness for my soccer involvement. And so I really enjoyed playing collegiately. And then, you know, soccer to me just seemed like a natural fit. I had, you know, I wasn't blessed with a huge amount of soccer-specific skill, but I worked hard and I had some good endurance and some speed. And so that was kind of how I've made my mark on the soccer field, was just being able to kind of grind it out, you know, because I wasn't a super, like, highly skilled player, per se.
And so the switch to triathlon, when and why did that take place?
Yeah, so that didn't take place. I didn't do my first triathlon well after college until I turned 30. So after college, I played some pickup soccer games with high school buddies and kind of a local men's beer league, which was a lot of fun, but then kind of strayed away from organized sport. And then when I was teaching down in Texas at the time in the suburb of Houston, in the kind of late 90s or so, is when I got the bug to kind of get involved in endurance sports and ran my first 5K, 10K, then did my first marathon while I was living in Houston at the time with some of my coworkers. And from there, I just got involved in doing local sprint triathlons when I moved back to Michigan to start on my master's. And it just kind of evolved from there. I recognized that, hey, I'm pretty good at this. Had some modest success. Just all those years of chasing a soccer ball just created a large aerobic capacity. And triathlon just was a good fit for me. And ended up racing as a competitive age group for a few years and then professionally for 12 years after that.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned about chasing a soccer ball, because as you were describing that, I thought, well, I guess that sounds like a logical transition because there's so much running in soccer. You were used to doing it then, and so triathlon would seem like it's a natural next step. I mean, even though there was a gap in time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even though there was a big gap there where I wasn't doing anything super organized from a, you know, a team standpoint or even individually, and even when all those years I played soccer, you think about running and triathlon and, you know, swim, bike, run involves the three disciplines with the run component being the third on race day. I really did not like running as a kid, and even the years I played soccer and
wow.
At the collegiate level. anytime we were told, hey, we've got to go out on a long training run for camp or to get ready for the season, I did it, but begrudgingly.
Wow.
And when I would see people out jogging, you know, out on runs, I would just kind of shake my head and think, there's got to be a better way for you to spend your time right now than running around the neighborhood or that sort of thing. So running wasn't a huge pleasure of mine, although I did it because it was just part of the process of training back then. But ultimately, as I made the transition to triathlon, running was my strength. I mean, after the swim and the bike, once we got out on the run course, that's kind of where I was like, all right, my race just starts to get better as the run unfolds because of the endurance that I had, again, going back to all those years of chasing a soccer ball, and running just came so more naturally to me than swimming and biking, even though I did, you know, fortunately grow up swimming, so it wasn't super foreign to me. But for me, it was like a giant game of Pac-Man out there running down the competition when we were on that. You know, if it was an Ironman race, we're doing a full marathon at the end, or half Ironman race, we're doing a half marathon. So that's how the run kind of evolved for me over the years. And now it's, you know, running. I love running, especially trail running, living here in Colorado.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And I was listening to everything you were saying, but I just couldn't stop holding back this laughter, because here's a guy that's done triathlon professionally, and yet you're telling us how much you used to despise running. And the fact that when you talked earlier about, oh, I actually did some swimming too, Bruce, you said, I was only doing that to keep in shape for soccer. So two of the three things involved with triathlon, they were just kind of an afterthought for you back then. And lo and behold, look at what it evolved to. So very amazing transition. So now, as I mentioned, you're coaching triathlon at the University of Colorado Boulder. And there's something that I read that I loved, which I would like you to talk about, Brad, because this to me is a great example of how a coach can mix their faith life with their sports life, yet do so in an implied way rather than stated. You said, quote, "The team fosters an atmosphere of support and encouragement while challenging individuals to be their best. There are numerous opportunities for members to grow athletically, emotionally, and intellectually," end quote.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I mean, as a Catholic athlete, a Catholic coach, I mean, my faith is a huge, it's just interwoven into my being, my person. It's part of my coaching philosophy now, and how I interact and engage with athletes, perhaps not directly on a daily basis, you know, preaching the faith and that sort of thing, but really how I carry myself and how I interact and how I speak with and treat the individual athletes. But I really look at our student athletes as people first, students second, and athletes third, and really try to embrace a coaching philosophy and methodology that looks at the whole person and really tries to lift up and make sure that they're being protected and watched over as a complete person, and that's spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically. And so I think that's, it comes like second nature, to practice my faith within, the coaching I'm doing both at CU and with individual age group athletes that I coach. And it's extremely rewarding knowing that perhaps I'm having an impact. Sometimes you don't know right away, but I really treasure and value being able to not necessarily, like hide my faith. But to be able, to be able to share it in various ways.
Yeah, and folks, these are great lessons that Brad is giving us, and I hope you're getting this through a number of episodes of Catholic Sports Radio, because I know there are a lot of people that question, well, how, Bruce? It's great to talk about the mix of faith and sports, but how can I mix my faith life with my sports life? And you're hearing Brad talk about exactly that. And like I said, when I asked the question, it's implied rather than stated. So he's not standing with a Bible in front of his student athletes and preaching to them and telling them about the importance of their faith. But if you're listening for it, and of course you heard him say he's working with them in such a way that, yes, of course, he's making sure that they're understanding the sport components of triathlon, but he's also conditioning them as young people first. I also read another statement you made, Brad, if you could expand on this one further too, because here again, if we look at this quote through a Catholic lens, we can see your faith coming through. You said, quote, "If a person is not mentally strong, things can still go south in a hurry," end quote. And of course, folks, you'll see these as you look online. These are public statements that Brad has published that he's talking in a triathlon context. But if you look at that, like I said, through a Catholic lens, if a person is not mentally strong, things can still go south in a hurry. I like that one, Brad.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we can do all the training and you know, get ourselves physically prepared. But if we're not, if our mind and our heart, even more importantly, are not aligned to really where God wants it to be, then we're not going to be able to reach our full potential and maximize our effort on race day or in training or, more importantly, in life. You know, there's so many young people, and I see it quite a bit in working with the college students here at CU that, you know, are dealing with anxiety and depression and all sorts of pressures from various outlets through social media. So I think it's easy to for them to be led astray and getting caught up in the comparison game and thinking they have to look like or be like someone that they're not designed to be. Mm. So it's all about, you know, really striving to be the best version of yourself out there, both athletically, but more importantly, spiritually and emotionally.
Oh, so well said. So well said. This is great stuff. These are what I like to call teaching moments. Folks, are you seeing now how we can and should let our faith very much permeate into our sports life? And while, yes, I mean so far during this interview, but hopefully on other episodes of Catholic Sports Radio that you listen to. In fact, in the lead up to today, Brad told me that, quote, God's hand has been actively on me through my life journey, both in sport and most significantly in my family life, end quote. In fact, Brad has a really powerful story to share in that regard. I mentioned at the very, very beginning that this will be the final interview to be released before Christmas, since the next one will come out on the 26th. We are very much in the season of giving. So when you're thinking about making a Christmas offering, as you look at different options to send support in light of the holidays, please be reminded that as blessed as I am to have recently passed the 200 episodes milestone, not to mention be only 6+ weeks away from the 4-year anniversary of Catholic Sports Radio, it is still a ministry for me, and I still don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. I did try contacting one company recently that I thought would be a good fit as a sponsor, but I never heard back. There was someone else who had inquired with me about doing a little advertising. That seemed to kind of get stuck in hurry-up-and-wait mode. I've got an idea for another company that I'm going to try pitching, yet all this time the bills keep coming in and I have to try to find a way somehow out of my own pocket to try to cover them, which is quite challenging, I have to admit. Yes, you have heard me on past episodes thanking guests who have made a gift to my ministry, and last week you heard me recognizing a listener who had done so as well. Those all help very much, don't get me wrong, but it does not mean that the problem has been solved or that bills have stopped coming in or even that I've been able to pay myself a little something for all this time that I spend working on my ministry. Keep in mind that I'm just a one-man operation and I don't have any staff or volunteers helping me, and that, never mind the operational aspects of Catholic Sports Radio, it does take probably 5 to 6 hours alone just for each one 30-ish minute episode of this show each week. My prayer, of course, is that all my time and work is paying off in terms of reaching people and moving more brothers and sisters in Christ deeper in their faith. If you do feel that what I'm doing is worthwhile and would like to support me, I ask you to please consider my ministry as part of your tithing. Perhaps it's something you want to do for me as a Christmas gift. On the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a blue Donate to CSR button that is fast, easy, and secure. You can use that to make a gift to this ministry, and it will even let you include a note on there for me to see. Or you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with instructions for sending me a check through the mail. Either way, your gift means a lot to me, not only in helping with the various costs that I've reported to you over several episodes of this show, but in telling me that you like Catholic Sports Radio and find value in it and that it's impacting your faith life. Please know my sincere gratitude for listening to the show, for telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in my ongoing efforts to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Brad, before I have you share the powerful story that I alluded to at the beginning of all that, let's cover one more triathlon topic, because It's yet another testimony to the mix of faith and sports, and I'm referring to your training time, workouts, and even race day.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. You know, triathlon can become a very self-centered, selfish sport because it's, you know, you're not competing for a team generally, even though I was part of a team. Jelly Belly, actually, the candy company, had a professional triathlon team because they have an electrolyte product called the Sport Bean. And so I was part of the Jelly Belly's team Sport Bean professionally, but ultimately you're racing for yourself. You're racing, you know, individually out there on race day. So, you know, the training time can become very consuming, take away from family time if it's not held in the proper place order. Mm-hmm. So triathlon can become a very selfish endeavor, like many other hobbies or interests or activities. You know, fortunately for me, as I was racing professionally and making the move out to Colorado and the Denver area here, that was a catalyst for when my faith really started to flourish in tapping into the treasures and resources of our Catholic faith, going to Mass, receiving the Holy Eucharist. What better way for me as a professional triathlete to recover my body spiritually and even physically from the rigors of training than receiving the Holy Eucharist? Getting involved, you know, in adoration, attending adoration, confession, you know, opening the Bible, reading the Word, and then ultimately the time that I'm out there training, swimming, biking, and running is prayer time. It can be very contemplative and just turning it over to God and kind of, you know, that mantra of let go and let God and praising Him, thanking Him, praying the rosary. I can't tell you how many decades and how many rosaries I have prayed over the years while I'm training and racing. I have a kind of a cheap plastic rosary that was nothing special that I used to give them out when I was doing abstinence and chastity presentations to Catholic Church youth groups and students that were blessed by a local priest. And I always carried one with me, and I had the same rosary over 12 years of racing that has traveled all over the world where I've raced. It's been in the Mediterranean Sea, where I raced in Nice, France. It's been to Canada. It's been on the Big Island of Hawaii at the Ironman World Championships. So prayer is a very big part of what I'm doing, you know, when I'm out there training and racing, and certainly with my athletes. I'm lifting them up in prayer. I pray to St. Sebastian before every single team practice at CU. And at the end, to myself and for the athletes on race day, that they're lifted up and protected and kept healthy. Not that we're going to win, but just that we're protected, that the volunteers are protected, that God's hand and His protection, you know, through the intercession of St. Sebastian is on what we're doing and what we're engaged in. And even with when I'm planning out an athlete's training schedule, to me, that's prayer time. I'm just kind of, you know, praying through that so that the Holy Spirit is guiding me to lay out the most effective training plan to allow this person to be their best and to excel.
Wow.
So prayer is a huge part of what I'm doing athletically. You know, oftentimes we can compartmentalize prayer and think, well, as Catholics, maybe it's reserved for 1 hour a week on Sundays to attend Mass. But I think if we are fully open to allowing God into our lives, you know, He's never ever outdone in His generosity.
Yeah.
So we'll truly, our lives will be enriched and blessed the more open we are to allowing Him into it.
Yeah,
into
fantastic. And you read my mind, because when you talk about compartmentalizing, I love that you said that you would actually pray during a triathlon, because I think the temptation is, well, I'm going to pray beforehand, and then when I'm finished, I'm going to say a prayer of thanks that I was able to get through it. No, there's a great opportunity, as you described, to keep that prayer going when you're out there competing. And actually, I know that you've also been active through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as well.
Yes, that really came about once I started racing professionally and connecting with other athletes and Christian athletes and Catholic athletes. But I was able to get involved with FCA Endurance. Endurance is their kind of multi-sport triathlon and running component of FCA in general. And it's been a huge blessing in my life to find this group of people when I travel to races, to have some camaraderie before the event. And a lot of the races, they have these prayer services that FCA would sponsor called Iron Prayer, and it would be held the day or two before the race. And for me, it was a great opportunity to put the reflection back where it needs to be and where it should stay, and that is on God and the opportunities that he has afforded us with the gift of good health to be out here competing for his glory. And I was fortunate enough to be able to speak at many of these events when I was racing professionally, just to share my testimony and to encourage and try to do my part in lifting up other athletes, and at the end of the day, maybe calming some nerves and jitters that we all have going into a race. We can get so caught up about, oh boy, I got this big race tomorrow, and I hope my bike does okay, I hope my body responds, I hope my nutrition and fueling and hydration goes smoothly. But ultimately, focus on the controllables and really keep Christ at the center of that. And, God's never going to give us more than we can handle.
Well, and I'll tell you, folks, what a gift this interview is it not? What a great Christmas gift this is. Brad has just given us, as we heard Al Pacino say in Scent of a Woman, he's given us pearls, and this is really terrific. And by the way, I encourage you, if you're traveling over the Christmas holidays, when I say take Catholic Sports Radio with you, use that as an opportunity during your travels to catch up on some past episodes that maybe you haven't heard. Brad, go ahead now and share with the audience the powerful story that I mentioned that you have about God's hand being on you both in sport and your family life.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. I am just so humbled by how God has been in my life. And I get very emotional when I talk about my family life and my wife, Megan, and the now 3-month-old son that we have. Megan and I actually met online about 5 years ago through CatholicMatch.com. And both of us had never been married before, so we had a long-distance kind of courtship initially. And through God's grace, just things started to get revealed. And after several months of corresponding, we came to realize that, wow, we have some really kind of interesting and at the time seemed random connections within our families. Hmm. I grew up in Michigan, as we've been talking, and Megan's grandparents and Megan's mom and some of her aunt and uncle lived in the same town that I grew up in. Her grandparents attended the same church that my family attended. Wow. So I'm quite certain that when Megan was making her summer visits to her grandparents growing up as a kid, our paths probably crossed during Sunday Mass at this church. But, and then her aunt was a teacher at the Catholic grade school that I attended, and I think her aunt actually taught my sister-in-law third or fourth grade. So it just made, like, when we realized this, and I was good friends with one of her cousins, and just randomly, and so when we found this out, it just made kind of that kind of online things feel a little more natural.
Yeah.
And so I certainly, to me, it was like, wow, God's hand is on this in some way. I don't know where it's going, but so through prayer and discernment, Megan eventually moved here. Fortunately, she was able to maintain her job and work remotely. Mm-hmm. And she made the move out here. And then, we got married 3 years ago, and then we were open to children and just open to whatever God's plan was in that regard. We had been talking about foster parenting, and then this past January, after the holidays, we had spent the holidays back east with Megan's family, and Megan's dad ended up in the hospital, so Megan stayed on after the holidays. I came back to Colorado to get started back up with the CU team for spring semester practices. Mm-hmm. So Megan was there in January, and literally on the weekend of March for Life, she found out she was pregnant. Mm. And since I was back here in Colorado, I found out via FaceTime, which was the most amazing news I could ever have received.
Yeah, I'm getting chills listening to you say all this.
And the thing is that for your listeners, maybe to give some people hope who are discerning family or the vocations in married life or kids and children, I'm 53 and Megan's 48. So having a child, we at our ages, we knew wasn't out of the realm because God can do amazing things, and physiologically, biologically, we know it wasn't out of the realm. So that was a huge blessing for us when we found out. But with that blessing being at the age of Megan, there are some risks involved.
Sure,
there's
sure.
a higher risk pregnancy. So the doctor in New Jersey did not want her flying back the first trimester. So she spent the entire first trimester in New Jersey. I was back in Colorado. And then once she was able to travel back here, I went out to New Jersey and flew back with her in February. And then we started, you know, going about the business of you know, the prenatal care and having regular doctor's appointments. And we had huge amounts. We had like a small army of prayer warriors praying for us and for this pregnancy because of the high-risk nature of it. You know, higher risk of stillbirth, higher risk of miscarriage, higher risk of potential developmental concerns, that sort of thing.
Sure.
And so we just, you know, again, I just learned to, through my athletic career and getting my faith involved, just to kind of let go and let God do his work. So I always felt like God's hand was on this. We had our first, or our 20-week ultrasound in April. It was Holy Thursday. And this was with our first appointment with the high-risk specialist, just because of Megan's age.
Yeah.
And out of that ultrasound, there were some concerns that the doctor saw. And so that was a bit stressful, because you never want to hear that as a parent, that there's maybe some concerns.
Of course.
For one thing or another. It wouldn't change what we were going to be doing with the pregnancy, obviously. And so that was a little concerning. But again, I was at peace because I knew God's hand was on this. And, you know, we had so many people praying for us. And Megan's dad was actually at a daily mass a week later or so and told a very holy priest about this and asked for his prayers. And the priest laid his hands on my father-in-law's head, prayed for our child. His nickname is Speedy because he was, like, all over the place in the ultrasounds with his arm movements and leg movements. So our grandparents nicknamed him Speedy. And the priest, with his hands laid on my father-in-law's forehead, prayed for our child, Michael Joseph, by using his nickname at the time, Speedy. And my father-in-law said he could immediately, he just felt like Speedy's forehead was there with him, and that he could just feel the healing and the power of the Holy Spirit taking place.
Wow.
So there was like no, after we heard that, and there just seemed to be like no concerns. I mean, you still have concerns. There's a little bit of stress and worry. But from as far as being higher risk, in my perspective, you know, I just was at peace with it all and just trusting that God's hand was on this. And then at 38 weeks, Megan was induced because of her age. And the day we went in for the induction was actually the gospel of in Luke of the Annunciation. And just knowing that with God, all things are possible. So we went through 41 hours of induction, and then it came down to that the baby wasn't coming, so we had to have a C-section. And the C-section was done literally during the hour of mercy, started about 3:15. Our lovely, healthy baby boy, Michael Joseph, was born shortly after 4 o'clock. And it just was just incredible. It was very humbling to know that we had all these people praying for us and lifting us up in prayer and our unborn baby up in prayer. People that in prayer groups that we don't even know, that just through word of mouth that family members got connected with. It just truly has been such a blessing to have this boy, this child in our lives now. And I'm very, very excited to see what God's plan is for him.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty incredible. I mean, parenting, you hear about the joys and the amazing things that happen through parenting, but you don't really appreciate it, I think, until you're living it. And that's, you know, in these first 3 months for us as new parents, it's just been incredible.
Fantastic, fantastic. And folks, I think we all want to kind of exhale and just sit with that for the time being, but I don't think that you want there to be dead air coming out of your speaker for an indefinite period of time. So I do need to move on, but wow, so powerful, so powerful. And thank you, Brad, for sharing all that, because wonderful, wonderful testimony.
Yeah, no, it's really, you know, a joy to be able to share this and a joy to share my Catholic faith, because that's, you know, a huge part of our life now as parents and as husband and wife and our vocation. So it's easy to do and just very, very grateful to have this Catholic faith.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I mentioned in the intro, and you just kind of went over this very quickly, but nationally recognized abstinence speaker, and I love that angle that you come from of, quote, being physically, emotionally, and spiritually buff?
Yes, yes. Athletics, there's so many parallels to life. So for me as a triathlete and as an athlete, someone who raced professionally, it's easy to make this comparison to, you know, the physical training and the spiritual training and why they're so similar to one another. And just as an athlete, I was training my body and wanting to excel and be my best. I had to avoid the physical junk food. Like if I wanted to be a top 10 finisher at Ironman Wisconsin, you know, I couldn't just for 8 weeks sit on my couch playing video games and pack away a bunch of Hostess ding dongs or Pop Tarts and that sort of thing. So I had to follow, a healthy diet, just giving my body the nutrients it needs. But even more importantly, we need to avoid the emotional and spiritual junk food that is out there that is constantly bombarding us and trying to grab at us and pull us into an unhealthy and negative direction and away from Christ, yeah, away from God,
that's right,
and perhaps away from our faith.
That's right.
All the temptations. And now it's even more challenging, I think, certainly from when I grew up, you know, the social media platforms that are available to our young people. There's so much more emotional junk food, I think, out there. It's more readily available than it was, I believe, when I was growing up. So I think it's even more important that we encourage our young people to stay grounded in their faith, to you know, tap into the resources and treasures of our Catholic faith that I mentioned before, the sacraments, reconciliation, going, you know, receiving the Holy Eucharist, prayer. You know, prayer is, you know, one of the most powerful tools we can have, most powerful weapons we can have to really build ourselves up to be a warrior in any capacity, whether it's athletically or, you know, as a physician, as a lawyer, as a husband, wife, as a single person, a religious life, whatever whatever vocation we're called to. I really think it's important and beneficial. And we will receive authentic joy and peace by just being open to God's will and allowing Him into our lives.
Mm. I'll say it again, folks. This is a really nice Christmas gift that we're getting here. You're hearing some great stuff from Brad. And by the way, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, I am not only going to put a link to Brad's website, but in the Facebook group this week, I am going to share a pretty impactful photo that Brad sent me, and I will have the description in there of what the picture is. So make sure that you have joined the Facebook group if you haven't already. There is a button for that on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. Brad, before we close, I do want to also give you an opportunity to talk about all that you've done over the years in the pro-life movement.
Yeah, that's been a big part of my journey, my faith journey, certainly as a Catholic, working in the pro-life movement in many capacities. Initially, in my growing up as a teen, just attending church activities, pro-life events, local things, and then as a young adult, having an opportunity to chaperone on a couple of occasions a group of teens from the Metro Detroit area to the March for Life in D.C., and then really the influence from my parents, especially my mom growing up as a kid. She worked for a pro-life ministry called the Educational Center for Life in Metro Detroit. And so as a high school kid, you know, she would come home and periodically, you know, place what I would call the propaganda, the pamphlets, the resources, the things of that nature, the pro-life materials around the house in strategic places where we'd see them and pick them up and read them. So there was a heavy influence from my mom and my dad on the value of life growing up as a young person. And then really when I had the opportunity to start doing abstinence and chastity presentations and working as a volunteer for a local pregnancy center in Michigan, that's where I really had a deep appreciation and passion for standing tall for life, at least trying to. Because my mindset, you know, as a college student was, well, I may not agree with the decision of some woman or couple to have an abortion, but who am I to say that they shouldn't have that right? So that's almost a more challenging viewpoint than someone who just says, I'm pro-life or I'm pro-choice. You know, have that indifference, that opinion of indifference, I guess, was what I had. So, you know, having an opportunity to volunteer and to work for Pregnancy Resource Center in Michigan, and then when I moved out here to Colorado while I was racing, I was an abstinence educator for a local pregnancy center, and that was a huge blessing, really, to get into, like, so many of the Boulder Valley public schools giving the healthy message of abstinence to these young people, because there also be, you know, Boulder Valley, like many public schools, teaches comprehensive health education. So if they, you never know what components they're going to get from the abstinence side of things, because they're getting the contraceptive, they're getting a message from local Planned Parenthood office. So for me, you know, as a Catholic, I always really, really valued the opportunities I had to go into the local public schools giving that healthy message of abstinence.
Yeah, I can tell. And as we've heard throughout the interview, you clearly have a servant's heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because, like, even as a coach, over as I've grown in my faith, that's how I look at my interaction with my athletes, my age group athletes that I coach, you know, who are literally all over the world. And then also the locally here with the team at the CU, University of Colorado, I view it as I'm a servant to them. You know, I want to make sure that they're, especially the kids here at CU, that they're getting a wonderful, fulfilling, dynamic experience out of their time with our program.
Brad, as you can tell, I so enjoyed having you on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you for making the time. God bless you and your family, and have a great first Christmas as a dad.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. I'm wishing you and all your listeners and supporters a very blessed and Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. And folks, we will close this week's episode as a nod to the coaching that Brad does at the University of Colorado Boulder with a prayer from the National Catholic Coaches Association, and we'll do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 2 Timothy chapter 4, endure hardship, fulfill your ministry. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. Lord, help me remember you are always with me, especially during tough times in my life. Remind me that your trials are for my benefit and that you used time to build me up to make me stronger. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, wishing you all a very blessed and Merry Christmas. And remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.